Hi, this is Casey Treat. I'm pastor at Christian Faith, and we are excited to have you with us on our podcast. Thanks for joining in. I'm praying that you're going to hear a word that will inspire you, empower you to connect with Jesus and become more like him. That's what we live for. That's what's happening on today's podcast.
Welcome to church today. How are y'all doing today? Man, y'all look good up here. I don't know if y'all lost weight or if it's just the new lights, but somehow y'all look better. Y'all are looking good today. Fedgeway, I'm sure you look good too.
Yes, thank you.
But man, y'all are looking good up here, and God has been faithful. Look what God has built and done, and he will continue to do. Hey, the room is built, but now let's do, now the real work's here. Let's go reach some people, amen? Let's go reach some people, and God will build his church. And hey, we in a series, a mini series, just to end the year on generosity. And I like how my dad said it last week. If you were here, he said, hey, I'm gonna start a series, but when I say this word, you're gonna instantly think something. And then he said generosity, and the church thought money. Come on, somebody. It's true. We all go there. It's one of the things that we're the most protective of, possessive of. It's one of the things we need the most. I mean, I get it why we go there and we get nervous about it. But generosity is so much more to do with you than with your money. In fact, if you gave a lot of money away, you could still be greedy. Just because you give money away does not define you as a generous person. It's part of it. Let me say it this way. You can't be stingy with your money and be generous, but you can give a lot of money away and not be generous. So it's part of the equation, but it's not the only part of the equation. There's a lot of people today that are stingy with their compliments. You know what I'm talking about? You're like, you feel like you have like a quota. You got like three a year and you just like, you're stingy with these things. Like no one's getting this compliment from me. I love the type of person comes up to me, preacher, pastor, you know, when you were talking, you should have said this. I'm like, bless your heart. Just say great job. Thanks for the compliment. Just stingy with them. Someone lose a pound, man, did you lose some weight? You're looking good today. You don't got to remind them they got 99 more to go. Just celebrate the one. Come on, somebody. Bless God. They lost a pound. Give them a compliment. Why are you stingy with those? We get stingy with our compliments. We get you know what I'm getting stingier with is my time. You know what I'm talking about? Back in the day, my friends would be like, hey, I got to move. And I'm like, let's go. I'll be right there. Order the pizzas. Now they're like, hey, we got pizzas. And I'm like, you know, it's my out of back issue the other day. I'm not sure. I can't, you know. We get stingier and stingier and tighter with what? But generosity has more to do with who you are than your money. Let me prove it. In the beginning, in Genesis, God says, let us make mankind. Let us make humans. Let us make man and woman in our image, according to our likeness. Let us make you like God. So this is what God is like. So one, he made you. So whose image are you like? His. So you're in his image. So your personality, your temperament, your character, the generosity of your life should model or mimic God, because that's the image that you're modeled after. You're not made in the image of your mom. You're not made in the image of your dad. Now there's similarities, but you're made in the image of God. So what's God like? Well, in John 3:16, it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, not one of his sons. He didn't have a lot. And he's like, let's take the worst one. He had one. He's like, I'll give the one. I only got one, I'll give one. Says he gave his only son. In James 4:6, he says, God gives grace generously. Now, he's not stingy with his grace. He doesn't make you earn his grace. He's not saying if you are worthy. No, he gives grace generously. James 1:5 says, if you need wisdom, ask our generous God and he will give it to you. You need wisdom, ask and he'll give it generously. 2 Corinthians 9:8 says, God will generously provide all of your needs. It doesn't say he's gonna make you work for it. There's not a trade. I'll give you what you need, but in return, come on, somebody. He says, I'll give generously. Isaiah 55:7, I love this. Turn to God, for he will forgive generously. Who in here, if I'm talking to the right group, you grateful that God forgave you generously? I don't know about you, but I know me. I needed some generous forgiveness. I didn't need some tight forgiveness. I wouldn't be here today if God's forgiveness was stingy. I would not be here today if God's forgiveness was limited. I wouldn't be here today if God's forgiveness was one time. No, I needed a second time and a third time and a fourth time. Honestly, I hate to break, but I went to God multiple times for some forgiveness. I got back in that line a few too many times, if I'm being honest. I'm grateful that he was generous with forgiveness. I'm grateful that I serve a generous God. And if I'm made in his image, then if I'm not a generous person, I have an identity crisis. Because my identity is formed in the image I'm modeled after. If I'm made like God and God is generous, then I am generous. And if I'm not being generous, I'm living a lie. I'm living contradicting my own nature. And that's why so many of us have tensions in our life today, is because you're living in a way you weren't created to live. And so you're a walking tension. You feel like something's off in my life. Yeah, you're living a lie. You were created to be generous. You were created to model a generous God. When you get stingy with your grace, you're walking in opposition of your nature. When you get stingy with your forgiveness, you're walking in opposition of your nature. Follow me just for a second. When you're unwilling to forgive, it's a burden you pick up and are unwilling to let go of. See, it gets harder and harder and harder to live in contradictions to who you are. And so for you to hold back your forgiveness, you have to hold a burden and live under the weight of what you weren't created to live with. You were created to be generous. That's the most natural form you'll ever live in. When you live generously, you're living in sync with God, with your nature, with your image. God's a generous God and you're a generous person. See, so I'm trying to not get your money. I'm trying to get you out of an identity crisis. Because when you realize that you're a generous person, your life will start to lock up in a way that it'll start to flow in a freer sense than it's ever flown before. Like there'll be a natural flow to your life because you're no longer getting in the way of yourself. Nice. You're generous. That's who you are. That's your nature. That's your identity. Too many of us are contradicting our own self. Being stingy, being uptight, being greedy, being self-centered. But you were created to have a flow in your life, to have a generosity in your life. Jesus goes to his disciples. I love this verse. He goes, you don't know what spirit you're of. You don't, what, it's in Luke 9:55. You don't know what spirit you are of. That. As you sit on that, as you think on that, as you meditate on that, I think it starts to grow and you realize, hold up, okay, what spirit am I of? So what am I of? See, if Jesus showed up today and sat with you at Starbucks, he took you across and said, listen, what is the spirit of your life? What spirit are you of? If he walked with you for a day or two or a week, how would he define the spirit of your life? How would he define the spirit of your marriage? How would he define the spirit of your parenting? How would he define the spirit of your workplace? See, he looks at his disciples who had been following him. Literally, they're following him every single day. Monday, follow Jesus. Tuesday, follow Jesus. Wednesday, Jesus, where are we staying? Jesus, where are we eating? Jesus, how are we paying our taxes? Jesus, who are we feeding today? What waters are we walking on today? What eyes are we opening? Like, they had been following Jesus, and he was like, y'all don't even know what spirit you're of. You are going through the works, but haven't gotten the spirit. You're attending church, but don't look like Jesus. You're serving on the dream team, but don't smell like Jesus. You're sending through offerings, but don't give like Jesus. You don't know what spirit you're of. What is the spirit of your life? Is it a generous spirit? Is it a spirit that has a flow to it? Or is there stinginess? Is there greed? Is it fearful? In 2 Timothy 1:7, hey, I could throw it on the screens. It says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear. You know that fear is a spirit. I'm not gonna go there. Put that back up. I'm gonna start casting out devils in here. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and self-discipline or sound mind. It's what spirit are you? Are you of a fearful spirit? Or a spirit of love. See, and here's what happens. Many times in the church today, we attempt to spiritualize our fear, calling it wisdom. We attempt to spiritualize fear by making it sound logical, by making it sound cultural. Everyone else does it. It's not, no. You are living with the spirit. Like if it's not the spirit of Jesus, the spirit of abundance, the spirit of generosity, if that's not the spirit you're of, then what spirit are you of? God hasn't given a spirit of fear. So if you're living in fear, living in bondage, living self-oriented, living holding back instead of letting things flow out of you, what spirit are you of? God hasn't given a spirit of fear. And I think at the core, at the root, so many of us struggle with generosity, not just in finances, but in every aspect and area of our life because we've submitted to the spirit of fear. If God is your source, what are you afraid of? If God is your healer, what are you afraid of? If God is your provider, where's that fear come from? See, we have allowed fear to creep into so much of our life. That's why Jesus looks at his disciples and goes, you don't even know what spirit you're of. What's this? What is this? You're going through the motions, but you don't have my spirit. You're doing all the right actions, but that's not from the right heart. That's not me. What spirit are you even of? I haven't given a spirit of fear. I think many of us live with this as our. I like illustrations. Is there like any 8-year-olds in here that also like illustrations with me or? Okay. I think many of us live life with this model. This is all I have. So when someone asks for something from me, I gotta go, oh, I can give you a little bit. But I still need some for myself. And then you go, no, can I just get a glass of water? Yeah, just, there you go. No, I need, like, just a glass, please. Just, come on, just hook it up, bro. Like, look, yeah. And then someone else shows up and you're like, hey, can I get some too? It's like when you pull out gum at church, like, hey, let me get a pig. Like, oh my goodness, now it's just a whole row. Everyone, what am I, like a gum maker over here? You think I own stock in gum? This is my gum. Come on, somebody. Don't pull that gum out right now. We're going to spot it. And then, so no, let me get some. How good have you been recently? How worthy are you? You know, you didn't give me that much water last time when I asked for you, so I don't really know if, you know, I asked the other day if you could help me, and I'm not sure if I've. Okay. The preacher was, you know, telling me how to be generous. So I'm just, that's enough. I got to be wise. You know, Dave Ramsey told me, have margin. This is my margin. And we think that our life has limits. And this is all I have. And so when you get some of what I have less. But what if your life wasn't as much a vase, but had an endless source?
Let's go.
See, if you ask for water from this, I could only give so many of you water. But if y'all came and asked me for water when I have this, yeah, who else wants some water? You want some water? You want some water? Everyone can get water from this, but this has a limitation. And because of the spirit of fear, many of us see our life looking more like that than this. But when did God become limited? And so you're living with fear. Fear that I won't have enough. Fear that my marriage isn't gonna make it. Fear that I'm gonna get sick. Fear that I'm gonna run out of money. Fear that I'm not gonna get that house. Fear that I can't start that company. This is all I have, so I gotta protect it. But the freedom that can come in your life when you realize that God has given you this. So when someone shows up and says, hey, can you help me? I'm like, yeah, I can help. Because honestly, I'm not the limits of what I have. Catch this. And when I plug into God, I don't set the limitation or the parameters for all that I have. See, when I view my life like this, this is the structure of me and this is all I have to give. But when I realize that God is my limitless source, I don't have to evaluate your worth for me to give. I don't have to evaluate your love for me to give. I don't have to value your worthiness because I have an unlimited source. If life was just like this, then I have to evaluate, do you deserve it? Are you going to be good? What are you going to do with this? You're going to buy drugs with this? I have an unlimited source. So if God tells me, then yes. If he leads me to give, it's unlimited. But so many of us are living with the spirit of fear. This is the spirit of fear. I don't have enough. And so I got to evaluate. I got to give to my family. And sometimes I'll give to the church. And then I'll give to myself. Come on, somebody. Amen. Self-care is best care. Got to put my mask on first. You know what I'm talking about? You've heard the airplane. Got to make sure I'm good first. This isn't what I'm called to live from. And if this is what you lived with, then that makes sense why you should guard it. That makes sense. You should guard this if this is all that you had. But this isn't all you have. You are tapped into an eternal, limitless source. So why are you being stingy with his stuff? Why are you being stingy with his blessing? Why are you limiting what God can do in and through you? Let me show you. In 1 Kings 17, let's go here. Then the word of the Lord came to him. Arise, go to Zarephath and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow there to feed you. I have commanded a widow there to feed you. So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, a widow was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, bring me a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to bring it, he called to her and said, bring me a morsel of bread in your hand. And she said, as the Lord your God lives, I have nothing baked, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little oil in a jug. And now I am gathering a couple of sticks that I may go in and prepare it for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die. Well, that got dark quick. And Elijah said to her, do not fear, go and do as you have said, but first make me a little cake of it and bring it to me. But first make me a cake, and after make something for yourself. After make something for yourself and your son. For thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, the jar of flour shall not be spent and the jug of oil shall not be empty until the day that the Lord sends rain upon the earth. That's an awesome story. So in this story, in this moment, the prophet had spoke a drought over the land and it hadn't rained in years. So he's like, this is gonna last until rain shows up. That's wild, because they're in the middle of years of not a drop of rain from the sky. So he goes, make me a cake. That's wild to talk. Could you imagine a prophet today being like, yo, I know you just said you're about to die. Go make me a cake though. Like, that's, Elijah was bold. But here's what I want to focus on, because we read that story and we see the provisions of God at the end of it. I'm like, oh, that's so awesome. The flour and the oil never runs out. But I want to focus on the part that God said, I have told a woman to feed you. What happened to the word of God between when God spoke it to her and when the prophet showed up? See, we get excited about the end of it because Elijah had the faith and the courage and the guts to tell her to follow what God had said. But why wasn't she already willing to do it? Why wasn't she waiting, looking for him? Why was she in a hurry to make the last of her bread? I'm just gathering sticks right now, trying to make my last meal before I die. Right. Me and my son, we're going to eat this one meal, and then we're dead. We're going to starve to death. This is the last thing we're going to eat, and then we're going to die. And Elijah goes, great, but before you make yourself a cake, make me a cake. Right. How many of us have missed God because of fear? He says, do not be afraid, but make me a cake first. Do not be afraid. She's like, I'm not afraid, I'm logical. I only have this much flour and this much oil. I'm just looking at actual, like this is reality. It seems illogical to accuse someone of fear when they're looking at what their actual life looks like. And then he goes, don't be afraid. What do you mean don't be afraid? I'm being like, look, you look at this. I have no husband. I have no family. I have a little bit of flour and a little bit of oil. We're in the middle of a drought. We're gonna die. And he goes, no. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Afraid of what? Death. He goes, don't be afraid. Give me that cake first, which God spoke to you. How many things has God attempted to speak to you, but you missed because of fear? How many blessings did God attempt to bring you, but your logic stopped? Your fear stopped. You looking at what was ahead of you or in front of you, you said, but I looked at my bank account and God told me to give 1,000, but I only had 1,000. God told me to serve, but I didn't have the time. God told me to forgive, but I wasn't big enough inside to give the forgiveness. God told me to extend grace. God told me, but I wasn't able because. How many things have you missed out on because fear closed the door that faith was supposed to open? He said, don't be afraid. Here, Ben, come onto the stage. Help me play this point out. Don't be afraid. And here's what we want. I know this is what you want because this is what I would want. I would want to make me a cake first and then the leftover for the prophet. Come on, that sounds logical. Like, okay, here's the deal. I like negotiating, don't ask my mom. I was like that kid, you know what I'm talking about? Like, let's make a deal up in here. What if I emptied the dishwasher to get out of this spanking? Come on, somebody. You know, like, let's make a deal. Let's work this out. We're logical adults right now, mom. Let's talk this through. You're acting like that's not true. Yeah, she'll get up here and tell you 1,000 times. Let's work this out. And if I was that woman, I'd be like, listen, I'm going to make all of this. I'll split it with you. That seems fair. He said, no. Make me a cake first, then make one for you and your son. See, God always requires faith first. And he'll meet you at your level of faith. He'll meet you right there. But it takes faith. And many of us are saying, yeah, I will make all that I have and then I'll give God a portion. I'll make what I have and I'll forgive a portion. I'll use what I have and I'll help a portion. And the prophet in the story said, no, make some for me first. You don't get a test if this miracle is going to work first. You got to trust. I said that there will be enough, but now you got to go do your part. God said it won't run out, but you don't get to go fill the cup first. You got to use it straight from here. And too many of us are trying to see how much can I get before I start giving. I got to fill some jars to make sure I'm good. And then I'll start giving jars. No. It's got to come from here. It's got to come from faith. Because there's a portion of you that says, I don't know when this stops. I don't know when the source will, I don't know. I have no backup. I have no contingency. I don't have all these buckets filled. I just know that I'm trusting God. And as I trust, he keeps providing. See, the prophet said, make something for me first. And too many of us are going, no. I need a safety net. And so we live in fear. But we call it wisdom. We're calling it logic. But we're not living in faith. How many miracles have you missed because of your logic? How many miracles? How many signs? How many wonders? How many opportunities was God trying to move in your life? But you said, I don't have enough to be used. I'm not a good enough singer to join the team. I'm not worthy of the marriage that God has for me. I'm not able to start the company. I don't have all of the background. I'm not from the right family. I can't get healed. I can't overcome cancer. I'm just not good enough. And so you have allowed fear to define your life as opposed to faith. God is limitless. Just because someone else got healed doesn't mean you can't get healed. Just because someone else is blessed doesn't mean you can't be blessed. Just because God's moving to them doesn't mean he can't also move through you. He's got so much more for us. How much have we missed? Because we were fearful. How many prayers haven't we prayed because we are scared God wouldn't answer? God wouldn't show up. I just don't want to pray that. I don't want it to not happen. What if you lived your life with faith? Ready to just jump at the whims of God. I love that with Peter. He goes, if it's you, call me to get out of the boat. What were the other 11 doing? I would have for sure got out after Peter. At some point, I'm like, Joker, we're not all missing this moment. If he's walking, I'm walking. I'm walking on water if someone else is walking on water. If you start walking on water, I'm walking on water with you. I'm not missing that. How many times have we missed it because we weren't stretching our faith, we were living in fear. He says to the woman, make it for me first. Then go and make one for yourself, and your jar of flour and oil will not be emptied. See, sometimes all you see is this. But when you obey God, when you trust God, when you rely on God, He taps into the bottom of your resources and they become limitless. And as He tells you to give and you give, it just never empties. And He says to forgive, and all of a sudden I'm still full of forgiveness. And He says to give, and I'm still full of finances. And He says to love, and I'm still full of love. And He says to take a step of faith, and I'm like, I just don't run out when God leads and guides me. There's a connection on the bottom of my resources because I'm connected to a limitless God. We got to start living our lives with faith, not defined or limited by fear. As you pray and think about next week and our legacy offering, and not just our offering, but the style in which you will live your life. As you enter into this Christmas season and we think about all Jesus did, and He came in a manger, Emmanuel, God with us. As we enter into this Christmas season, which is full of giving and generosity, and the style in which you're going to give, the lifestyle that you'll live. Be a generous person. As you ask God, God, what would you have me to do? What could I do for that church in Syria? What could I do for those pastors in Nigeria? You know, I know here at Mill Creek, but we didn't do it at Federal Way either. When we restored and built this brand new sanctuary, I didn't ask you to give an extra dollar. None of this was defined or limited by additional giving. God did this. God did this. There wasn't a giving campaign. You didn't sign up. We had no pledges. God built this. But as I was talking and hearing about the churches in Nigeria, I thought, now it's time for us to step up and build someone else a church. It's time for us as a church to step up and build the churches that the devil tried to destroy, and the devil tried to end, and the devil tried to silence, and their fear has tried to silence the voice of Jesus in a nation. But we will stand with them and say, no, 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 fear does not get to silence Jesus in this nation. We're gonna come alongside you and build. And there's 7 churches specifically that we're supporting and trying to build. There's 11 pastors' homes that have been demolished that we're gonna come alongside and help restore and build. And all we ask is that you pray and say, God, what can I do? What should I do? And here's what I love about our God. I love in the story in the New Testament, He's watching as that older woman gives 2 mites, 2 pennies. And later in the day, He pulls His disciples. I love this. You just see this. Just picture this. He pulls His disciples and goes, yo, did you see what that lady gave? Did you see? They're like, you mean, who are you talking about? You're the lady. She gave 2 mites. Did you see that? And they're like, Jesus, there's 2 mites. He's like, I know. Can you believe that? Like, just see your Jesus talking to His disciples, and He's trying to get them to realize His spirit, not just His ways. Like, yeah, but 2 mites can't do anything. He goes, no. Her heart was so committed to me that she was willing to give what she didn't have. She had nothing but found a way to connect herself to my house. And then later in His life, He's sitting at a table and there's a big feast, and this lady walks up and opens a jar of oil that was so costly and so expensive, they likened it to a year's wage. How much do you make in a whole year? Could you imagine taking your year's wage and going to buy a bottle of cologne and then just breaking it and pouring it right here? I could not imagine that. What, everything you made this year, 60 grand, 70 grand, 100 grand, 200, your entire year's income before taxes. All of it. Uncle Sam's mad at you over this. Everyone's mad at you over this. Religious people mad, government's mad, your spouse is mad. Everyone's mad at you at this moment. And you take this bottle and you pour it on his feet. And the disciples are like, what are you doing? Whoa. He goes, you shut your mouth. This is, he's doing it unto me. See, Jesus had a way of seeing two mites and be like, oh my goodness. Look at your faith. And then seeing the woman that pours a lavish gift and fully accepts it. See, he's not looking at the amount on the check. He's looking at your heart. He's looking at your spirit, saying, God, this is what I have to give. It's a dollar. It's a hundred. It's a thousand. It's a million. It's yours. It's yours. There's 100 reasons I could tell you why I give. But I could just tell you a few today. As we close, I give because just recently we had a woman move here, started attending the church. She grew up Mormon. In the last 4 months, she's gotten saved, filled with the Holy Spirit, gone through growth track, and serves every week. Another person that had been praying for 4 years for her husband to come to church, and today she celebrates that he serves weekly in church. Of another man that for years he talked of divorce in his marriage. Finally this year he went all in with church, committed, submitted to leadership and life groups, and his marriage has been fully healed and restored. I have a story just recently. A woman at our Federal Way campus had been struggling with debilitating anxiety and depression. Debilitating, would just take full control over her. Weeks ago, as we were praying south over the spirit of heaviness and putting on a garment of praise, that spirit was broken off of her life, and she hasn't struggled with depression a day since. I give because we have a guy on our praise team that grew up on the streets and in gangs and recently shared part of his testimony on the update. That update clip went kind of viral in his old friends group, and they all started watching it, thinking he had become a pastor. They are all reaching out to him for prayer and help now, and he's influencing the very, very people he used to do just street life with. His life was forever. See, God can use anyone and everyone. No one's too far from God to be reached. I give because, thank you, God. I give because every week people come to Jesus here. Because this is a church that God's life and his breath sits in. I give because marriages are restored. I give because hundreds of kids come every single week to hear who they are in Christ. And that they're anointed and they have a purpose on their life. I give because marriages are healed and people are set free. I give because God tells me to do. And honestly, if that was all, that would still be enough. But one of the most important reasons why I give personally is because I have 3 children that watch me. I have 6 eyes on me at all times. And I don't want to be a person that says something on a stage but doesn't live it in my home. I'm a person to make sure that the spirit of my home is the same spirit that's on this microphone. And I want to make sure that when my son grows up, he says, my father was a generous person. He lived beyond himself. He lived for others. He loved people and he gave what he could to make sure that the gospel wasn't limited by his smallness. That's why I give. Why do you give? Why do you give? Is this yours? See, every year we end the year with this legacy opportunity, not to cast a burden on you. It's the last thing I want is you to come to church and feel depressed, feel a burden. That is the last thing I want from you. We never want you to come to church and feel burdened. We want you to come to church and feel released, feel freed, feel like you've been empowered to live the life that God created for you to live. And in that process, I want you to live free of greed, free of pride, free of fear. I want you to live. And so every year we end with this opportunity to make sure that we still serve God over mammon. That I'm still submitted to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That he still has control of my life, control of my money, control of my heart, control of my mind. I still want to make sure that he is first in all that I do. That's why we give you this opportunity to go, God, let's together, collectively come as a church and in a legacy moment, give beyond ourselves. Do something that not one of us ever could do on our own, but all of us collectively can really impact and change the world together. Let's together leave a legacy.
Thank you so much for joining with us today. I'm praying that you heard something that will impact your life. If you'd like more information, connect with us at the Christian Faith Church app or go to the website at christianfaith.us.